Welcome back to this week's episode of our Smoky Mountain Wrestling Podcast, episode 13 from April the 25th, 1992. We are still in the same venue, the Hancock County High School Gymnasium in the heartland of East Tennessee. Doc, what is going on, man? How you doing today?
I'm pretty good. I got a couple questions and observations before we started here. So this is, we've been in this Hancock County High School here for several weeks. How long do you think the TV tapings were here?
I think this is the fourth week we're in this building.
I think so.
So it's been a while, but I mean, yeah. That's what you did back then.
Okay. The other thing I just want to point out here is that show aired on April 25th of 1992. That was 5 full days before Doc's 18th birthday. God dang.
You were crushing ass already at that point, huh?
Actually, I was. Thank you.
Okay. All right. So let's kick things off, man. We appreciate you tuning in to us like you do each and every week. If this is your first time, please subscribe to us.
I don't want to give out the disability checks at the beginning. I want to save that to the end. But let me just tell you, we had a hot episode last week, and I think we've got another hot episode today. So let's go over to the desk with Bob Cottle and Dutch.
So we got a very quick opening promo with Dutch and Bob Cottle with Carl Stiles in the background as usual. Dutch puts Bob Cottle on notice and tells Bob to mind his own business about where Stiles was and has been. Bob says, "Dutch, I don't know why you're so touchy about that." Now, if you recall, there's been this running thing for weeks now where Bob keeps asking Dutch where Stiles has been, and Dutch has come up with every excuse there is and is sick and tired of Bob asking him this. It's just one of those things, and a very, very short opening promo. So we go to the first match. Bob Holly is against Bart Batten, one of the Batten twins. Bob Holly starts off the match doing some healing and trying to get the upper hand on Bart Batten, but Batten outsmarts him with some quick moves in the beginning of the match that leads to an atomic drop, a hip toss, and then Bob Holly does the heel thing and powders out of the ring, because back then that's what the heel did in the opening spot almost every time, it seemed.
Works every time.
Every single match. Like, I swear, too, when you're in wrestling school, you learn that from day one. I mean, you see it, the heel powders out and it gets the crowd in an uproar at the very beginning. Bob Holly comes back in, but Batten continues to outsmart Bob Holly with a few moves such as a hip toss and then a flying head scissors. That might be one of the worst head scissors I've ever seen. Ooh. On Bob Holly. It was rough.
Yeah.
Batten tries it again, but on the second go round, Bob Holly drops Batten across the top rope. So as Batten goes up and he's got his, you know, legs around Holly's neck, Holly is able to drop him across the top rope, you know, and he takes the rope across the throat in that attempt. Bob Holly takes over the match from that point. Batten does get some offense back, though, and Irish whips Bob Holly into the corner. As Bob Holly takes the corner, Batten runs in, at which point Holly lifts his knee. Batten runs into the knee and takes a bump. Bob Holly then goes right to the top rope instantly and does the brutal star drop. I mean, that is a brutal move. I don't know how else to describe it if you haven't watched it yet. I'm sure you have.
He's laying it in.
Yeah, or as we call it, the knee drop from the top rope, and it gets the 1-2-3. And I don't think Holly is purposely like trying to hurt someone, because you could really kill someone with that move if you did it to do so. He gets the win, 4 minutes and 18 seconds, Holly does, over Bart Batten. And I've never taken that move, but I would hate to. That's a nasty bump, and that's a nasty knee coming off the top, wouldn't you? Mm-hmm. I mean, we've talked about this a number of times, but what were your thoughts on this quick opening match that sets the tone for this week's show?
Well, we're on episode 13. Some people probably never thought we'd get this far, but here we are. So I'm not acting like this is episode 100, but have you ever noticed how many episodes of these first 13 that Bob Holly is in the opening match?
It seems often.
Yeah. Like, okay, so they've been at Hancock County 4 times now, and I think he's wrestled on 2 of the 4, and he's the opening match both times, and a couple of times in the other places. It just seems like he's in the opening match. I don't know if that's by coincidence or on purpose, how they're sequencing their TV, or that he doesn't have a hot angle. He's just a good guy in the ring to get things going. So I don't know, just an observation there from the Dockster.
Well, I mean, I can tell you when you see independent promoters put matches together, a lot of times opening matches, a lot of times opening match of a show, non-TV, You want that first match to really get fans excited. I don't know. But see, you don't know, although it's airing opening match here, you don't know where that match was on in the card.
Right. And
you're seeing it opening match, but I doubt that was the first match of the night.
And you don't know if this is the first or second time this crowd seen him wrestle.
Right, exactly. So that's the, you know, there's no way of knowing that. So we go to the next segment, which is a Bob Armstrong promo. Bullet Bob tells Bob Cottle he's got the first round matches for the Volunteer Slam that's taking place on May 22nd in Knoxville. So again, this is an important promo because we're going to get the first round matchups of the Volunteer Slam that's coming up shortly. First round matchups are Robert Gibson versus Jimmy Golden, Tim Horner versus Paul Orndorff, Buddy Landell and Primetime Brian Lee, Dixie Dynamite and the Dirty White Boy.
These are some good matches on paper.
They're good matches on paper. And of course, Bullet Bob explains that the winners will face each other. As we've discussed
before. That's usually how a tournament works.
Right. As we've discussed before, the winner must win three matches to be crowned the first Smoky Mountain Wrestling Heavyweight Champion. Now, Doc, before I continue, I haven't brought this up, but I was never a fan of entire tournaments wrestling taking place in one night. What are your thoughts on tournaments and wrestling that take place in one night?
I'm not a big fan, and I'm also not as big a fan of tournaments in wrestling. I think I ought to be. I love, you know, we've chronicled this over the past year and a half on Booking the Territory. We're both big sports fans, and so the concept of the tournament is a good one in theory. It just never seems to pay off like it ought to in wrestling tournaments. And certainly, I think in one night, you're asking a lot of the audience to keep up with what's going on the fly and stay engaged. And remember what's up and follow along the brackets. You know, when this episode aired in April 25th of 1992, I was just finishing up watching the 1992 NCAA tournament, and that was probably one of the best things that happened to me all year was watching that tournament. I love tournaments. It just never seems to pay off in wrestling kind of like it ought to, or it seems like it should from the get-go.
Tournaments and wrestling are fine. The problem with this particular version of a tournament is it's all in one night. That's the problem. I think when you do that all in one night, what happens is you're seeing some wrestlers that get to the finals three times. The two that get to the finals, you've seen three times. The others who aren't in the finals in their semis, you've seen them twice. I think that's the overkill of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what's hard to pull off when it comes to a tournament. So yeah, that's my thing on it. Now, Bullet Bob, back to the promo, Bullet Bob continues and says that they will have the tag team finals that same night. At that point, Bullet Bob tells Paul Orndorff to come into the picture because he's got something to tell him. Now, side note, Bullet Bob has a striped short sleeve shirt with some fresh blue knit slacks and a navy blue clip-on tie. So Orndorff comes into the scene. Bullet Bob tells Orndorff,
you think that entire wardrobe costs less than $15?
I don't know. It depends where he got it from. I mean, could, but then it could cost, you know, $150.
And I say that with respect. I realize Bob Armstrong's now 80 years old and can still whip my ass, but come on, dude.
Bullet Bob would crush you, dude. No doubt about it. He would crush you. So, again, he welcomes Orndorff into the picture, and Orndorff comes into the scene. Bullet Bob tells Orndorff, you will not come close to getting a sniff of that belt if I see a pile driver. And then Bullet Bob walks off. Bob Cottle says, what do you think of that, Mr. Wonderful? Orndorff chuckles and says, wrestler's honor. I won't pile drive anyone.
Okay, what's wrestler's honors, buddy?
Yeah, he's tongue-in-cheek right there.
I won't put any roofies in your drink when you go to the bathroom either, huh?
You're right. And then Orndorff cuts a very nice promo on Tim Horner making fun of where Orndorff is from, where Orndorff is from in Knoxville. I'm sorry, where Horner is from in Knoxville, and telling us fans again that Mr. Wonderful has been all over the world. My note here, Doc, is that when you listen to Orndorff, you see why he's been on multiple WrestleManias and why neither one of us knew who White Lightning Tim Horner was before we got into Smoky Mountain Wrestling. Orndorff is talking him into the building.
Well, I'm going to take a little bit of exception with that. I knew who Tim Horner was before we started watching these. I was aware of who he was and had seen him wrestle before. So.
I'm sorry. Hold on. Let me stop. I don't mean complete not knowing who he is. I shouldn't say it like that. I'm saying you see why one guy was a star and one guy haven't
was
known
Tim Horner.
Yes. That's what I'm
saying. Yeah, I get it. There's I had on my notes. that it's easy to see that Paul Orndorff is the superstar and Tim Horner's a wrestler on the card.
There you go. Very easy. Extremely easy. Too easy to see it. So let's go to the next segment, which is a Bob Cottle promo. Smoky Mountain is coming to Beckley, West Virginia. I assume West Virginia because he doesn't say Beckley, West Virginia. He just says Beckley. Bob doesn't say what state. It's just what it is. Now, Doc, is there any other Beckleys in the Smoky Mountain area? That's why I'm harping on it.
Oh.
Okay. We get a promo from the Battens, which is so quick you'd blink, and it was done. But I know this was the direction they were given. Like, they just came in and said two or three things and left. It's just them saying that they're coming to town and handling their business. Then we get Primetime Brian Lee. And I'm starting to notice something from him that he does frequently as he cuts his promos for the people and Beckley. He seems to always say in his interviews at some point, I'm 6'6" and 280 pounds. And if it's not that, he's saying something like it. Like sometimes it's 285, sometimes it's 282.
Go ahead. It's his calling card. It's the thing he has that nobody else in the area has. Nobody else is 6'6" and is that size. He's the biggest dude walking.
Well, that's true. Then we get the Fantastics with Jackie and Bobby, Mullet Mania, Fluffy Mullets here. And God damn it, when you watch his promo, you see why a guy like Bobby was so well known. He's got emotion. He's full of fire. He says a bunch of stuff here. But his last sentence, he says, anything Jim Cornette does is suspect. But in Beckley, they like a good fight. And I can't think of any other place on a Sunday afternoon to unleash the fury of the Fantastics on the heavenly bodies. Jackie closes out the segment and says in so many words, they will deal with the heavenly bodies, especially with all of the support of the fans that will be behind the Fantastics. Again, I'll play this at the end of the episode, but this was a hell of a promo from Jackie.
The belts have these workers fucked up, bro.
Well, it's just like you watch that and you see why Bobby Fulton was a very well-known wrestler in this world. And in this country and throughout the territory.
I wonder how Bobby Fulton's career well known if he was 6'2".
Much better. I mean, because he had it all. He did it. I mean, Bobby had it all. Tommy had it all. They both did. It's just, I don't know, man. You watch
They're
somebody.
They're just so small.
God damn, pal. He's a midget. Jesus. Yeah, so, but Bobby Fulton.
I can tell you right now. You're about the size of Tommy Rogers and Bobby Fulton.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm 6'2", and I got to tell you how much better my life is than yours because I'm 6'2".
You're an asshole.
So I just would really like to see the Fultons and the Rogers and all those guys of the world be just a normal height like me, a good height, a strong height where you can see, look down on people.
Next match. Jimmy Golden and Davey Rich are going to do battle. Dutch and Bob are talking about Gibson and Golden coming up at this volunteer slam as the match begins. For most who are following along slowly with us with this weekly, Gibson and Golden do have a fairly long, I'll call it feud, going back to the first month of Smoky Mountain Wrestling. So Dutch and Bob are playing into this with the commentary as the match is going on, with Rich holding the upper hand in the beginning of it. Dutch wants to know if Primetime Brian Lee is here because, you know, they get sidetracked often. Bob says yes, and Primetime Brian Lee will be wrestling Joe Kazana. Dutch says that he hopes Kazana upsets him, as Dutch says PBL is stupid. Now, they get to talking about Robert Gibson and how Dutch is sick and tired of talking about rock and roll Robert Gibson. Now, side note here, again, Rich is still in control of this match. It's at this point that I believe Dutch says, you see, Bob, Robert Gibson doesn't have the sense God promised a billy goat. Dutch switches topics and says, I don't mean to beat a dead horse, but I can't resist. I got to know about the mysterious absence of Carl Stiles. I said Dutch said that. That is actually Bob Cottle that said that. Why don't you just tell me? Dutch then pipes in and says, why don't you just let it go? Why don't you check the police report somewhere and see if he was some serial killer going on somewhere? Like if he was out there killing people. I mean, the guy is right here, but he's not that smart, you know. Talking about Carl Stiles is Dutch at this point. So let me recap. Dutch says, go read the police reports, Bob Cottle. See if there was some serial killing going on and see if you find Carl Stiles' name in it. Because he's not too smart. Chalk that up to one of those things you can't say in today's wrestling, right?
Carl Stiles looks like a guy that got to roll a good joint.
He looked like a guy that could go postal, too, if you look at him. He just looked really weird. Back to the match. Jimmy Golden finally takes control of the match and starts working the leg. Dutch hits us with his ugly woman line again, saying how ugly the women are here. We also get a public service announcement from Dutch telling the kids to not try any of these moves at home.
I didn't like that part. A PSA from a heel. Come on, kids. Do all these moves from home. But before you do them, jump off the roof.
As this is happening, Davey Rich gets some babyface shine on with one of those 10 punches to the head on the turnbuckles. Rich is still firing up, but Golden cuts him off on the turnbuckles as Golden rakes Rich's eyes. Golden shoots Rich off as they get back down on the canvas from the ropes. Rich ducks the clothesline, ducks the elbow from Golden, then Rich cross bodies him, Golden that is. Then he body slams Jimmy Golden. Dutch then pipes in with some commentary and says, "Have you ever tried to talk to Davey Rich?" Bob Cottle says, "No, I haven't." Dutch says, "Well, I have, and the lights are on, but nobody's home." Davey Rich goes to then pick up Jimmy Golden as he has Golden in the headlock. Rich goes to then shoot Jimmy Golden off as Golden is in a headlock. Rich, Doc, where am I at? I'm losing myself here.
Oh my God! This is what happens when you take too many chair shots in front of 48 people in a VFW hall in Chalmette, Louisiana. So basically, what we have here is the Rich goes to pick up Dutch. Well, we're coming out of the part where Dutch is talking about Davey Rich having the light on, but nobody home, and Rich goes to pick up Golden. Golden is in a headlock. Rich goes off. Rich comes off, and Golden takes the tackle, drops down. Rich jumps over him, and when he comes off the ropes, Golden hits what I'm starting to refer to as the best drop kick in the business in 1992 for a guy that size and that age. He delivers that drop kick, much like Orndorff hitting the clothesline for the win last week. Jimmy Golden going over with the drop kick, and I got to tell you, through 13 weeks of or 12 and a half weeks now of Smoky Mountain, obviously Ron Wright is the surprise breakout superstar. But Jimmy Golden is second in my book. I'm really, you know, if you from the Southeast, you probably said, "No shit, he's been around forever and he's awesome." You know, for a lot of guys in the other part of the world, he's just Bunkhouse Buck, and he was a sidekick to other guys in WCW. Boy, I'm really seeing something out of Jimmy Golden, and he pops me or impresses me every time I see him on the screen.
Jimmy Golden is extremely impressive at this stage of the game. He's impressive.
We had a good match. Golden wins in 6:39. Good commentary. They hit a couple of different angles between talking bad about Gibson and upcoming Volunteer Slam, where primetime Brian Lee is. We get some Carl Stiles. We get don't do drugs and don't do these moves from home. Ugly women. Lots of good commentary angles here. Good match. And now we need to head over to the desk where Golden is going to start telling us about his coming fight with Rock and Roll Robert Gibson.
Yeah, Golden's back at the desk. Thanks for saving me on that one. I literally got lost. We go back to the desk. Golden is about to start talking about Rock and Roll Robert Gibson when all of a sudden Gibson out of nowhere runs into the scene. Gibson tells Golden, "I got my wish. It's me and you on May 22nd. You're going down, boy." And then Gibson walks off. Short and sweet, which is what I really liked here. Golden is the heel, and of course he backs off while Gibson is talking. But the minute Gibson walks away, he's the big man on campus talking about how Gibson is nothing and how he beat his brother tons of times years ago, and he'll beat Gibson at the Slam. I thought it was a good little promo, a good little quick segment, because what it showed was Jimmy Golden just came off of this win, right, against Rich. Jimmy Golden now is the big man. He's cutting his promo, or he starts into it, and all of a sudden Gibson shows up, and Golden's like, "Oh, shit." And he backs up like the chicken shit heel that he is. Gibson gets a couple words in. As soon as Gibson exits, Golden, all of a sudden, you know, he bows back up, and he puffs his chest out like he's the man. You know what I'm saying?
Two solid guys here.
Yes, exactly. So at the Eye of Gibson, you did a good job there. Next match on the card is Primetime Brian Lee against Joe Cazzana. Dutch isn't having this as Primetime Brian Lee makes his entrance to the ring. Bob Cottle says, "This guy is the favorite in the Volunteer Slam." Dutch is like,
Who's your favorite, Mike? Who are you predicting to go over with as we've laid out the tournament here?
Primetime Brian Lee, Dirty White Boy, would be my favorite.
Well, I don't know, though, because you got it. I'm thinking that Paul Orndorff has something to say about it, but I got a bad
feeling. Oh, I'm sorry. Those three. Orndorff, Orndorff, Dirty White Boy, and Primetime Brian Lee would be.
I got a bad feeling Orndorff's going to lose his mind and pile drive everybody in the Knoxville Arena that night.
It's always a possibility.
Yeah.
Always a possibility. But and that, this is not any type of spoiler. We're just speculating at this point before anybody says we're spoiling anything. So we get into it. Cottle says this guy is the favorite, talking about Primetime Brian Lee. Dutch is like, get the fuck out of here, because Dutch believes Mr. Wonderful is the one who's going to win. This is a quick match, but Jesus, did you see that hip toss and body slam that Kazana took at the beginning of the match?
Yeah. He was flying through the air there. Did you notice that, to me, Joe Kazana looked like a mini Adrian Adonis after Adonis bleached his hair?
Well, a little bit, yeah. He was doing some flying, man.
He comes from the Kazana family that ran that territory years and years and years ago. So,
that's true.
He's got the wrestling in blood.
Yeah, I mean he was doing some flying. The body slam spot looked damn good because Primetime Brian Lee is so tall. Whenever a tall guy get a body slam.
As a tall guy, when I throw guys over, man, it's a long way down.
Okay, when he tossed Kazana down, Kazana hits hard from a deep drop, from a high drop. Bob Cottle says, "Whoa, Primetime Brian Lee is 6'6" tall, and when he presses you, that's a long way down." Dutch says, "How tall is he?" Cottle repeats, 6'6", 6'7". Dutch says, "I didn't know they stacked manure that high." Not long after that, Primetime Brian Lee hits Kazana with the finisher, gets the win in 2:23. What are your thoughts?
Finisher's called the cancellation, and let's head over to the desk for Primetime Brian Lee trying to talk him in the building.
So we go to Primetime Brian Lee. We go to the desk. It's Primetime Brian Lee, and what I think is about to be a Primetime Brian Lee promo, but hey, it turns into Buddy Landell. If you remember earlier in the night, Bullet Bob mentioned Primetime Brian Lee and Buddy Landell would be fighting in the Volunteer Slam in the opening round. Before Primetime Brian Lee can get started, Buddy comes out. Buddy says, "I'm coming out here and taking some of your airtime, boy." Primetime Brian Lee says, "Just one second, big boy. You shut your big mouth. You need to take your sister's house coat back. You may be a good wrestler," but he hits him with his tagline, "but you're not ready for prime time." The segment ends when Landell asks Bob Cottle, "Was he talking to me?" Doc, what are your thoughts on this?
Meh.
Meh? Just meh?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm just curious. I figured I'd ask you. Then go to the next segment, which is another promo. This is Carl Styles. And Cottle asks Styles where he's been. Carl Styles says, "I got a lot of respect for Dutch and all of his teaching, but I got a speeding ticket back home and I thought Dutch might help me out. But he didn't. I've been in jail the last few weeks. Figured Dutch would help me given his situation, but I don't know." And at this point, Dutch runs out. Dutch is yelling how it's not true as the camera cuts away to the next match. So, Doc, I don't know. I'm assuming this is our payoff at this point, maybe?
I don't know. Wow. So what are the odds that Carl Styles was really in jail and this was how they got out of it?
I never thought of that option, but I guess it could have happened.
Have you ever had a speeding ticket before?
I've had a speeding ticket, but...
Did it ever turn into jail time for you?
Well, here's the thing. What if he had a warrant for something else that was minor?
Right.
Like possession of marijuana or something. Like, you know... I'm just saying, it's quite possible that this could happen, but anyway.
Yeah, I don't know. We're going to make him a baby face and turn him baby face against Dutch by putting him in jail. I don't know. I mean, I guess that says something about the good people of the Smoky Mountain area, but I think it does. If he's going to stay here, it establishes him as dangerous because he's done hard time, I guess. I don't know.
I don't know.
I've told you for weeks now this isn't my favorite angle, and so anyway, yeah.
You don't have to get all swole up in the chest about it.
I'm fine.
Okay, just making sure. Next match, we have Killer Kyle and Reno Riggins. This is your average jobber match that's very quick. They show a picture in the top corner of the screen as the match is beginning of Dutch scolding Styles in the back. Dutch finally...
Yeah, I thought picture-in-picture Smoky Mountain in 1992 was the equivalent of 2016 WWE production values.
That probably stretched the
Smoky Mountain production staff about as far as they could go at that time.
I don't know about that. I mean, it was definitely Nah, come on now. You're saying a lot. That's not true. Dutch finally joins Cotto back at the ringside or at the desk, and Cotto says, I can't believe you took Styles' money. Dutch says Styles is delusional and he doesn't know what he's talking about. We go back to the match. Killer Kyle does that same move again where Kyle catches Riggins coming off the top rope in a bear hug, which, again, is terribly hard to do and is extremely impressive. They're building Killer Kyle up here after he took a pinfall in the very first match ever in Smoky Mountain against Robert Gibson. Styles then hits Riggins with the rub out. Doc, any thoughts on this quick match with Killer Kyle pinning Reno Riggins in 2 minutes and 35 seconds?
I really wish they'd rename that finishing move and make it not the rub out.
Again, I want to point out, this is Killer Kyle again getting another pin. So after they pretty much kind of jobbed him in the very first match ever in Smoky Mountain history, he's now getting pins, and he's gotten a few now. So I don't – let's see where that goes. Just wanted to point that out. Now, I'm going to get to this Ron Wright promo. I wanted to cue this up and play it as we did this, but you know what? We'll play it at the end. We get Ron Wright. This is – Ron Wright says he's got a letter from some smartass who wrote into AARP, and they took away his discount on his heart medication. He's waving this letter around. He also starts talking about how the dirty white boy is kicking dogs and is in his time kicking and this time kicking old women too. He proclaims
that was the precursor to grab him by the pussy.
He proclaims the dirty white boy is going to take out everyone and everyone, and they better stay away from the ring if they don't want to get blood on them at the volunteer slam. Bruh, he said he got a letter from some smartass wrote the AARP, and the AARP took away his discount on his heart medication.
That's awesome. My note here is I just wish there was more tape of Ron Wright. There's that one video we found, but I wish there was more tape of him in his prime and just when you could really be a heel and work the people up in a riot, because I bet you it was awesome.
Bruh, this is my thing with Wright. He tops himself every single week. It's like every week he comes on, it's something different.
He's a true professional and a damn legend. Knows what he's doing out there.
He tops himself every single week, and it is incredible each time he does it.
I know.
Oh, so we go to the next segment. It's Bob Cottle. He's recapping the tag team titles and the standings of the tournament. Four teams remaining right now are the Maulers and the Fantastics in one semifinal match, and then the other is Nitro Danny Davis, Joey Maggs versus the Heavenly Bodies, which is coming up next. We go to that match, Heavenly Bodies against Joey Maggs and Nitro Danny Davis. My notes on this one are similar to the last time we saw the Heavenly Bodies. You watch Dr. Tom and Stan Lane working this match, and they feel like they're a big deal. They just do. I don't know how else to say it.
They feel like they're the stars here.
They do.
They themselves like they are the stars of the show.
Very much so. Danny Davis does some severe ass kicking in the beginning, bumping both of the Heavenly Bodies. It's typical, just, you know, good. The babyface going to get some good pops in the beginning from the crowd, or get the crowd up on their you know, up off their asses and on their feet. The camera then pans to Cornette, where we see Jim Cornette calling for a timeout once Davis bumps both of the Heavenly Bodies. Dutch says, you know, I wish I was in this match. I would slap that Danny Davis around. Now, I've started to notice something as we get deeper into this. Dutch always wants to slap somebody around. Do you ever catch that, Doc?
Yeah, I can feel it too, man. Doc wants to do the same thing.
Yes.
Earlier this morning, before we recorded, first thing I told you before we recorded is, man, I'm ready to stretch people.
Dutch is selling Cornette in the Midnight Express from years ago and how great they were and all the titles that the Midnight Express won. I believe he said Midnight Express under Cornette were two-time NWA World Champions, World Tag Champs, and four-time U.S. Tag Champs back when they had a United States titles. Then Dutch has a Doc moment when he says on a live mic he's got to get all his shit in. He doesn't say that, but he's fussing at Bob Cottle because, like, those aren't the words, but they were in a nutshell as he tells Bob Cottle to quit cutting him off.
Because I feel your pain, Dutch.
Because Dutch says he's the John Madden of pro wrestling, and people want to hear what he has to say. Now, for our younger listeners out there who you know, maybe you're younger and just coming along for the Smoky Mountain ride. John Madden, Pro Football Hall of Famer John Madden, that is, was a big deal when it came to commentary in pro football, especially during that time and in the 80s.
I think everybody knows him more from Madden football, you know, Madden.
Yeah. They don't know him like we do. Like we know Madden as the Fox and CBS team announcer with Pat Summerall for, I believe, over 20 years that they were in that role together. And Madden, like Madden was not a great commentator, but he was Madden, and like he would say crazy things.
John Madden was kind of like the Hulk Hogan of football commentating.
I liked listening to him, though, because he would make me laugh.
Okay.
Like he, you know, when he got his little telestrator out and he's got, you got a guy here, and a guy here. And when this guy here does this guy here, boom, and that happens. And you're like, what the fuck did he just say? Madden was, again, Dutch is saying he's like the John Madden of pro wrestling. Let's move on. Yeah, Dutch, as he has to get us all shit, get all his shit in like Doc, as he psychoanalyzes this match, saying that the heavenly bodies want to get Mags in there to work on him since he's the weak link of the team. Now, remember, Mags has this neck issue. Dutch and Rob remind us of the neck issue from Paul Orndorff's pile driver tirade that he went on a few weeks back. Mags does a really good job of selling the neck in the match, and what I liked is Dutch and Bob also sell the damage throughout as well as the heavenly bodies work the neck. Also, once Mags is in, the heavenly bodies work over Mags over and over throughout the match. There's a sequence here where Nitro Danny Davis tries to come in to help Mags, and the heavenly bodies do some old school double teaming while the ref has his head turned trying to tell Davis to get out of the ring. Now, you notice I said that Mags is taking a beating the entire match for the most part, but I need to tell you, he never dies in the match. You know what I mean by that, Doc? He never dies?
Well, let me try to step in and see if a person who's never worked a match can help. I'm not 100% sure on this. I'll take a stab at it because I've heard this term before. As Mags is playing Ricky Morton here and selling, he can't let the thing go too far and not fight back and just concentrate only on selling. He's got to keep fighting back so that the crowd is staying into it, staying engaged, and being ready for that hot tag. Is that close?
Yeah, keeping the crowd up, just never dying, never just laying on the mat where the crowd just gets to the point where they're like, this dude sucks, and why are we cheering? He's not giving us any reason to want to stay into this.
Just pin him and put him out of his fucking misery.
Right, that's what a crowd will do if you die on him as a babyface. So.
Psychology.
Yeah. Mags does eventually get the hot tag, but when he does, the ref doesn't see it as he's distracted, so the referee tells Mags tells Davis to get out of the ring. While this is going on, Dr. Tom puts a face bump type move onto Mags that Bob Cottle, for some unknown reason, calls it a DDT, which was nowhere near a DDT. Did you catch that, Doc?
Yes, I did, and that was not a DDT.
It was not a DDT. Overall, your thoughts on what we saw here in this match?
Well, I think Mags and Davis are two capable guys. They're not superstars, but they're definitely capable guys at the ring. They do the work that needs to be done to position the heavenly bodies the way they're going, and the heavenly bodies do their whole bargain by presenting themselves as the big deal here, the team to beat. The heavenly bodies advance to the finals of the tag team tournament.
Yeah, and you had to figure that the heavenly bodies were going to win this. I mean, nobody thought Mags and Davis would, realistically. But
man,
I say all that to say,
Jim Cornette would have had to come back into the locker room and catch Sweet Steam stealing money out of his wallet to beat him at that point.
I agree. And then the other thing I was going to say, too, was you knew the bodies were going to win this. However, that didn't stop this from being a very entertaining 8-minute and 37-second match.
Yeah.
So that was my note here.
I'm with you, brother.
Now, I got to stop for a second. Before we cut away to the next segment, Dutch reminds us that we will find out next week who their opponents will be in the tag tournament finals. It will either be the Maulers or the Fantastics. So the Maulers or the Fantastics, I believe, based on what I'm hearing, are fighting next week. And they will go up against the Heavenly Bodies in the tournament
finals. They're fighting next week. It was 24 years ago.
Commercial break. I never talk about commercial break graphics. So there's a reason I don't, because why? Anyway. There's a graphic that comes up here, and it says, "Don't go away. White lightning is about to strike." Doc, it literally reads lightning as Lighten.
Lighten? Lighting?
Lighten. Lighten. What are the odds that someone is ribbing Horner here on this graphic?
Boy, this is a good question. I don't know. You would think good, but it may be that that's how Smoky Mountain thinks that the people of Eastern Tennessee spell it. So maybe they're just trying to cater to the audience. I don't know.
Not true. I've seen it spelled not like that.
Well, you don't have another N in there either. You're missing an N and a G.
Well, I've seen it spelled L-I-G.
Uh-oh, now we're going to put Mike on the spot.
I've seen it spelled L-I-G-T-N-I-N without the G.
I don't know what you're saying now. Okay. L-I-G-T, Ligton?
I'm just saying.
What?
I don't remember.
Bro, you need to pack up and get moved to the Smoky Mountains. You'll be their leader out there.
I think it's a rib, Doc.
Okay, maybe, fine.
And if you're listening to this and it's just me catching this for the first time, please tell me. And maybe it's just I didn't pay attention to it. But I really think that there was something here.
We're in the middle of trying to get to a great promo and set up this finals of this tag team tournament. And you're worried about how they spell White Lightning. Come on now. Whatever.
Bob Cottle. We got a promo with Bob Cottle on the Heavenly Bodies on the next segment. Cottle is still selling the Beckley card that is coming up. He recaps the matches that are happening. Then he welcomes in Jim Cornette and the Heavenly Bodies. Jim Cornette tells the good people of Beckley how he and his team have nothing in common with a bunch of stinking, dirty coal miners breathing in that black lung coming out of the holes in the ground. And we got about enough in common with you as we do space aliens.
Pop.
Pop. Dr. Tom says a few words about how the Heavenly Bodies are superstars, and then Stan Lane cuts a nice promo talking about how there is one puke hole he doesn't like visiting, and it's Beckley, West Virginia. Stan Lane caps it off with, if there's one thing for sure, it's someone is going to get knocked out. I'll stop here, Doc. Thoughts on Jim Cornette and Heavenly Bodies promo talking the folks into the building in Beckley, West Virginia?
Well, we've said this over and over. All three of these guys can talk. The team can wrestle. Right now, you've got to think that these are the top three stars in Smoky Mountain Wrestling. I mean, we like other guys like Golden and Ron Wright and Dirty White Boy and others, but these three are clearly the guys that are on another
gold
level.
Gold standard. And they are the gold standard, bro. Ain't no right. other way to say it.
Yeah,
these dudes are everything.
Yep.
We go to then the last promo of the week. We got Bob Cottle with fucking Tim Horner. Bob Cottle says, let's talk about Mr. Wonderful Paul Orndorff, May 22nd at the Volunteer Slam. Horner says, seems like Mr. Wonderful has copped an attitude, or Paul has copped an attitude. He claims he doesn't know who Tim Horner is. Well, I tell you what I don't care if he's beating Hulk Hogan, Ric Flair. You have beaten White Lightning, and come May 22nd, he's going to know exactly who I am at the Volunteer Slam.
Did he just compare himself in a roundabout way to Rick and Hulk Hogan?
He sure did. He did.
That may be the most egregious mistake that he's made in 13 weeks of this and all the bullshit and his singing and everything else, is that he – look, you know me. I ain't a Hulk Hogan fan. I don't like – but we – you know – we can't deny the man his spot in history. And, you know, if you line up Hulk Hogan and Ric Flair and Tim Horner, it's really easy to see which one of these ain't like the other ones now.
Dude, every week that goes by that we do Smoky Mountain, I'm starting to really believe one of two things. Either one, people actually thought that Tim could do it and they would just put him out there. Or two, it was – all right, well, he's got a stake in the promotion, so we got to give him a spot like this.
And here's the thing about that. You know, for years, Jeff Jarrett's taken a bad rap about, well, he's the champion's TNA. Well, Jarrett is not Ric Flair or Hulk Hogan, but Jarrett always got a bad rap in mind. And Jarrett was a better performer than I think he got credit for, and I think he was an all-around talker and everything else than he gets credit for.
Absolutely.
But if you want to – again, I ain't saying he's the best in the world, but he was credible and passable in the role. You want to see the other end of that spectrum of what it can look like. And let's go down to Beckley, West Virginia, and meet him when they get there, because that's what Tim Horner is. Tim Horner is clearly a guy who's bought his way into – he's bought air.
I think – and here's the thing. You know how you always hear that thing about Paul Heyman, you know, accentuate the positives and hide the negatives? I don't think we make fun of Horner with the natural bridge move that he does. But if you really look at his when he wrestles, that's the only thing we really make fun of with him in the ring at this point, you know, as we're 13 episodes in. I say that because with Horner, we need to look at they should have hid his negative, which is these promos. If Horner, if you would have paired Horner with someone who could
Hey, Jim, man, let me get out there and talk him in the building. You know right. I can do it, brother.
Well, and that was the thing. So he, what Horner needed is a babyface. He needed a manager that could talk for him.
And while we're at it, so did Primetime Brian Lee.
Right. So there's the thing. We're beating up Horner a little bit or a lot, but it's not that we really believe he's like the worst, because the only thing we've said anything bad about in the ring is the natural bridge. If you really think about it, we haven't like said, oh, the guy doesn't know what he's doing. This is nothing about this guy as a wrestler. There are plenty of wrestlers in the world of professional wrestling who have made a great career out of being wrestlers and good in the ring and can't cut a promo. Look at Brock Lesnar. I mean, Brock is not a promo guy. He can do it a little. He can do it better than Horner, I should say. And he does do those zingers sometimes. But Brock has a guy who talks for him. And that's the point I'm trying to make. Horner, if you ever listen to this, we're not beating you up. We just think they should have kept you off the mic.
Nah, you saying you were singing that time. I'm beating you up.
Well, no, I mean, we are beating up his mic time. And the thing, dude, it's every week. You know, you made a joke at the beginning of this. You're like, we're going to count the corny promos. We need to be counting the Tim Horner promos. Tim Horner is promoing every single week to the point of, oh, I'm about to puke.
Yep.
Let's hand out some disability checks, Doc. I got 5.5 on this one.
Oh, my.
What?
5.5?
Yeah. I mean, there was some goal, like Ron Wright, but.
7 last week for that one.
Well, there was a lot. That Orndorff promo last week and Ron Wright promo last week was one of money.
Okay, well, I'm going to say, you know, on the good side, we had Orndorff and the Heavenly Bodies, Ron Wright, and Jimmy Golden was good. Obviously, we just talked about the cons were the Horner. I'm a big fan of the Killer Kyle or Carl Stiles. To me, those are all just dudes. I think last week I threw out a 6.75. Not going to go that high, obviously, but I'm not going to come down as far as you did and just destroy the episode and piss off Cornette so he doesn't come on the show.
You got some nerve, but okay.
I'm going to give it a 6.33. Again, you got to think about we're rating this against the SMW standard, not against, you know, Flair Steamboat. And again, this is a good episode. Again, it's better. I watched it this past week. I watched it while I was watching Raw. I quit watching Raw and just watched this. It's better than what's the current product. It's better than things I've watched recently. And again, we're heading to the Volunteer Slam. We're getting ready to decide some champions. The angles are starting to make sense. There's some continuity. I'm looking forward to seeing where we end up after the Volunteer Slam.
Yeah, it's things are picking up. That's for damn sure. I can't believe you gave it 6.33. Yeah,
I'm not generally as negative of a person. You're the one that is more antisocial and really a curmudgeon. People just don't. I guess that doesn't come through on the air to the people out there.
If you're a first time listener and really like what we do with this and our Smoky Mountain Wrestling reviews and recaps, subscribe to us however you get your podcast from on the device of your choice, whether it's an Apple product or an Android. You get iTunes, Podbean, Stitcher, Podcast Addict, TuneIn Radio. And more than anything, when you subscribe to us, please write us a 5-star review. Also, please retweet out. Share on Facebook the episodes. We would greatly appreciate it. That would be extremely helpful if you could do so. Follow us on Twitter. We're at @BTT_podcast. I'm at @Mike504Saints. And then how can you support the show other than doing that? Well, there are a couple of ways. You can do so via Amazon. You can do so via PayPal. Or you can check out our Pro Wrestling Tees store and purchase your very own Smoky Mountain Wrestling Podcast Pro Wrestling Tees t-shirt. The easiest way, besides in the show notes where I've got all of the links, including Amazon, PayPal, and Pro Wrestling Tees, the easiest way to get to our Pro Wrestling Tees store is also facebook.com/bookingtheterritory. Click the shop now button. if you're already buying something on Amazon, it's not costing you anything extra. Plus, you're help supporting a show that you really enjoy. You can check that out. Go to mikemills.podbean.com. Very top of the page is the Amazon referral link, and again, in the show notes as well. Doc, anything else before I send it over to the promos from this particular week as we wrap up this week's episode of our Smoky Mountain Wrestling Podcast Review, episode 13 from April 25th, 1992?
Shoot it over, brother.
You know what we always say when we get out of here? From Mike and Doc, and as we get you to the promos of the week, book it, bitch.
Fans with me right now, Smoky Mountain Commissioner Bob Armstrong. Commissioner, I understand you've got some news for all our wrestling fans concerning our Volunteer Slam coming up in Knoxville on May 22nd.
I've got some good news. All the elimination matches for the wild card berth are over. Right now we have the regular matches that will be the first round at the Knoxville Civic Coliseum at the Volunteer Slam. And if you folks at home want to watch the screen and you folks here in the audience will listen, I'll read you the first round pairings of the Volunteer Slam. The first match will be Rock and Roll Robert Gibson versus Jimmy Golden. White Lightning Tim Horner versus Mr. Wonderful Paul Orndorff. Nature Boy Buddy Landell versus Primetime Brian Lee. And Dixie Dynamite versus the Dirty White Boy with manager Ron Wright. Now, the winner of these first round matches will come back later in the semifinal matches, Bob. And then the winner of those matches will come back and they'll wrestle for the first ever Smoky Mountain Heavyweight Championship. But in addition to all this, we're going to have the tag team final that night. So we'll crown the heavyweight championship and the tag team titles all in one night. And brother, I'll tell you, it should be a great event. It'll be the first Smoky Mountain champion history, and it should be a great night for the Volunteer Slam. And I'll say this. I've noticed Mr. Paul Orndorff standing over here. He's paying great attention to what I'm saying. Mr. Orndorff, if you'd come in here, man, I've got something, just a little word to say to you. Just let me say this.
More money, I got plenty of that.
All right, if you'll just listen to me, I'm going to be watching every match that night very closely. And you won't get close to that belt to even smell it or look at it if I see one pile driver used.
What do you have to say to that, Mr. Wonderful?
Wrestler's honor. I won't pile drive nobody. You believe that? Well, let me tell you something. White Lightning, what's this guy's name?
Tim Horner.
White Lightning, where is he from?
He's from Tennessee. Morristown, Tennessee.
Well, you know something? Mr. Wonderful has been all over the world. And I hear that Tim Horner is buying a first-class ticket to fly to Knoxville. Is that it? Is that where he's from or somewhere around Knoxville?
Close by, yeah.
I'm trying to say is this boy, he don't even know what he's up against stepping in the ring with Mr. Wonderful. Mr. Wonderful has beaten everybody there was in the world. You just saw why they're trying to get rid of the pile drive. You saw how devastating it is out there. But you know something? Money is no problem with me. If he wants to keep fining me for beating people with my pile driver, that's okay too. But let me tell you something, Tim Horner. You better think about what you're up against. And I'm coming in that ring for one reason. It's that belt. And I'm a belt winner right here. I've been all over and I've had every belt that they've ever had. And I'm going to come there and I'm going to win that belt, Horner, and you're in my way. And you saw what happened to four people out there laying in the ring. You make one bad move, my friend, it's on your head.
Very determined, no doubt about that, Mr. Wonderful, Paul Orndorff fans. We'll be back. We'll have more action right after we take this time out. Fans, back to Smoky Mountain Wrestling in the heart of West Virginia on WOAY TV Channel 4 in just a moment. Smoky Mountain Wrestling will come to Beckley at the Raleigh County Armory on Sunday afternoon, May 17th at 2 p.m. It'll be WOAY TV Channel 4 day with children under 12 admitted for 4 cents with a paid adult. Now listen to this lineup. Oak Hill's own Bart and Brad Batten will take on Killer Kyle and Joe Kazana. Dixie Dynamite against Hollywood Bob Holly. White Lightning Tim Horner will meet Buddy Landell. Robert Gibson will take on Jimmy Golden. Then Primetime Brian Lee against the Dirty White Boy. Ron Wright will be in his corner. Bob Armstrong will be a special referee. Then Bobby and Jackie Fulton, the Fantastics, against Jim Cornette's team, the Heavenly Bodies. Let's bring in the Battens right now.
Hey, Bob, you know, we're looking forward. Mount Hope's our home. We're getting ready to come back to Beckley, West Virginia. Doesn't matter who we wrestle. We want to see all the people out there, and we're fired up about it.
Oh, I know you guys are. In Primetime, Brian Lee, you're going to have a special referee against the Dirty White Boy.
Exactly right, Bob. Speaking of fired up, Dirty White Boy, you can hit me in the back with a chair, but I got a man in my corner this time, and that's Armstrong. He calls it right down the middle. When I got somebody watching my back, 6'6", 280 pounds going to be right in your face, so get ready, Beckley.
And fans, there's more of the Fantastics. What about it, Bobby?
Well, I want to tell you something. We're so fired up and excited about this because Jim Cornette's unleashing his new team upon the Fantastics right there in Beckley, the Heavenly Bodies. Well, I'll tell you something right now. Anything Cornette's connected with, brother, you better watch out. But in Beckley, they like a good fight. In Sunday afternoon, I can think of no better place to unleash the fury of the Fantastics upon those Heavenly Bodies. I know myself and Jackie are ready about it, and we're excited, right, Jack?
That's right. The Heavenly Bodies, they've been going around with their manager, Jimmy Cornette, doing a lot of talk about what they're going to do to us right there in Beckley. Cornette, you've been bragging about how you're going to use that racket. But I tell you one thing. We have something to even the odds. We got the fans of Beckley right there in our corner. They're going to stand behind the Fantastics, and we're going to be flying high for the people of Beckley.
Fans, don't forget it. That's going to be on Sunday afternoon, May 17th, 2 p.m. is bell time in Beckley. We'll see you there. All right, and fans, we just saw him in the ring in action right here at ringside with us now, Jimmy Golden. We talked about the luck of the draw. You're going to get Robert Gibson.
Hey, man, let me tell you something. Hey. Don't come over here starting no trouble.
Here he is, rock and roll. Yes,
let me tell you something, Jimmy. I didn't come here to start no fight. All I want to say is my wish came true, boy, because on May the 22nd, it's you and me that tournament, boy, and you're going down.
What about
you? Come back over here again, I'll kick your butt right here. You ain't never beat me, your brother, or none of you. I kicked your brother's butt years ago. I'll kick yours, your mama, and your daddy, and all of you. I'm going to win it all.
And we'll be back. We'll have more right after this.
Some more time.
All right, fans, coming right here with us now at ringside. You just saw him in that ring, primetime, Brian Lee. Brian, the big date, May 22nd, Knoxville. And I tell you, the volunteer slam, that's going to be
volunteer
some of
volunteer slam, Bob.
Yes, sir.
I got Buddy Landry. You know, that's why I like Smoky Mountain Wrestling, because you do just exactly what you think you're big enough to do. And I'm coming out here, and I'm taking some of your airtime, big boy. I feel like that since he came out here,
just
the
one second, Mr. Landale. You need to shut your big arrogant mouth and take your sister's house coat back home. And I'll tell you another thing. You may be a good wrestler, boy, but you're not ready for prime time.
All right, fans, it'll come down. It'll hey, slam.
Was he talking to me?
He was talking to you.
We'll be back.
Was he... All right, fans, Dutch Mantell has sort of disappeared on me a few minutes. I got Carl Stiles right here. Carl, I'm going to ask you while Dutch is not here, where you been for the last 3 or 4 weeks?
Well, Mr. Cottle, it's like this. I've always had a lot of respect for Dutch, and I believe in his teachings. But I got a speeding ticket back home, and me and Dutch are from the same kind of a raisin, and I believe that he would help me out. And anyway, I was in jail for the last couple of weeks.
He didn't help you out?
No, he didn't. The ticket's unpaid. I'm sure Dutch has got an explanation. I know Dutch has got an answer. It's just he hadn't really told me right yet. But I believe that he's in the right situation. It's just that I done something wrong, I guess. I'm usually doing everything wrong out here. So.
At least we got that right there, fans.
Oh, no, that's not true. That's not true. Come here.
All right, Dutch and Wright, you are. Fans, here is Mr. Ron Wright, and I know you must have something else to say about what the Dirty White Boy is doing and about you and what the fans have done to you.
Well, that's true, but what I've got to say is a little more than what these stinking fans have done to me by not getting behind me and supporting me. I've got a letter here, some smart aleck from Smoky Mountain Wrestling Organization right here in the Tennessee Hills wrote into the good organization, the AARP, and had my discount card suspended, and I can't even go out here and buy my heart medicine and my arthritis medicine now at a discount. That's how sorry some of these people that's running this organization is. But let me tell you something. That's not doing nothing but getting me mad and getting a dirty white boy. I've never seen anybody so mad in my life as a dirty white boy is now. He's still out in the alley training, kicking old women and old men and dogs. And let me tell you something. When we get into Knoxville, Tennessee on the 23rd for the big the volunteer slam on the 22nd, people better get away back from ringside because there's going to be more blood spilled down there over the harsh treatment that these people giving me. The dirty white boy's going to let it all out down there and take it out on anybody that gets in the ring with him. And this is my advice. Stay back away from the ring and don't get blood on them.
Fans, that's a volunteer slam that he's talking about. The Dirty White Boy is really going to be there. That's on May 22nd, Knoxville, at the Civic Coliseum. Don't miss it. Fans, right now, let's take a moment to look at our Smoky Mountain Tag Team Tournament so far and how things look. As you can see, in the first round, the winners were the Maulers, the Fantastics, Nitro Danny Davis and Jumpy Joey Mags, and Jim Cornette's Heavenly Bodies. Cornette's team will meet Davis and Mags tonight, and with a winner going to the finals on May 22nd in Knoxville against the winner of next week's Maulers Fantastics matchup. Fans, will return with more of Smoky Mountain Wrestling in the heart of West Virginia on WOAY TV Channel 4 in just a moment. First, let me remind you, Smoky Mountain Wrestling will come to Beckley at the Raleigh County Armory on Sunday afternoon, May 17th at 2 p.m. WOAY TV Channel 4 Day will be held that day with children under 12 admitted for 4 cents with a paid adult. Now listen to this great lineup there in Beckley. Oak Hill's own Bart and Brad Batten will take on Killer Kyle and Joe Kazana. Dixie Dynamite against Hollywood Bob Holly. Tim Horner will take on Nature Boy Buddy Landell. Robert Gibson will meet Jimmy Golden. Primetime Brian Lee against the Dirty White Boy. Ron Wright will be in the White Boy's corner. Bob Armstrong will be a special referee for that match. Then in tag team action, Bobby and Jackie Fulton, the Fantastics, against Jim Cornette and his team, the Heavenly Bodies, Jim.
You know something, Beckley, West Virginia, it's been a long time since you've seen some of those names like Rock and Roll Robert Gibson. You always liked him, didn't you? Well, here's a couple of guys that you always didn't like, and here's one new one that you're going to fast learn to hate, because we got nothing in common with a bunch of stinking, dirty coal miners breathing that black lung coming up out of holes in the ground. We got about as much in common with you as we do space aliens, but Fantastics, one thing we got in common with you, they're both going to be in the same ring with you, but they're going to be standing up. You're going to be laying flat on your face, right, boys?
You see what it is, Jim? You have been deemed a genius your entire life, and in Beckley, West Virginia, you think the Fantastics are heartbreakers. You think all the women want to talk to you and want to look at you. Well, I'm talking about two of the biggest studs that come along in the Smoky Mountain Wrestling area forever, and when Sweet Stan Lane and Dr. Tom Pritchard come against you, Fantastics, it doesn't matter where it is, because we're coming to hurt you.
Stan.
You know, if there's one puke hole that I hate to go to, it's Beckley, West Virginia. But let me tell you something. Every man, woman, and child in Beckley knows that when Stanfield Lane and the Heavenly Bodies show up, somebody's going to get knocked out. I'm talking somebody's eye could get punched out. Somebody's going to go to the hospital, because we get down and we get dirty right there in Beckley.
Fans, with me right now, White Lightning, Tim Horner. Tim, let's talk about Mr. Wonderful, Paul Orndorff, May 22nd, Volunteer Slam.
Well, you know, it seems like Mr. Wonderful's copped an attitude, or should I say Paula's copped an attitude. You know, he comes out here and he has no regards for the rules of Smoky Mountain Wrestling. He's using the pile driver, and he tried to intentionally hurt Hector Guerrero a couple of weeks ago. Well, let me tell you something. I heard him out here saying he didn't know who White Lightning was, and he didn't know who Tim Horner was, and he's been all over the world. But I guarantee you, at the Volunteer Slam, he's going to know exactly who I am. I don't care if you have beat Hulk Hogan. I don't care if you have beat Ric Flair. You've not beat me. And when we get into that Volunteer Slam, you're going to know exactly who I am. I'll tell you that right.
All right, fans, that's going to be the 22nd. Next week, we got a great card for you. A review of our tag team tournament coming up next week, plus the Fantastics and the Maulers in our last semifinal match. See you next week. So long for now.